This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatis. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
In the name of Jesus, I thank you. I want to praise you, God, because you're good and your mercy endure forever. Father, I thank you, God, for your people. Thank you, Lord God, that we are able to use our faculties to praise you. Father, we pray, God, that you touch each one of us in whatever way that you want to touch each one of us, God. We're all here and we need different things, and you're our Father, so you know what we need. And you said in your word that you'll supply all I need according to your riches and glory. I want to thank you now for supplying all I need. Father, I pray that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech, and let my tongue be as the ready writer, and the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, peace, salvation, and prosperity to those that hear and believe. Father, I yield myself to you. By your spirit, speak to us. Have your way. Do what you want to do. Father, we'll be careful to give you glory and praise. We'll join with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you're holy. You're holy, God. You're holy. And your glory fills the earth, and we thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to use for a thought, and I'm bringing... I don't know if you noticed lately, I'm trying to bring some teaching, some Bible study into Sunday because we don't get enough Bible study participation. Amen. So you just got to bear with that now since you're here. Amen. But I want to use for a thought, a title, a tag, prerequisite for orderly worship. And then a subtitle for those that don't mean nothing to, you know, the prerequisite part. Let's do it right. Amen. Let's do it right. Amen. Amen. Because I need to give him some more time. Amen. All right, let's get through. So David assembled, he got people together for purpose, people who had purpose. When you understand purpose, you don't mind coming together for purpose. Amen. And the purpose can't be your own vision. It has to be what God wants. We have pushed and pushed. I'm talking about the preachers. We have pushed people and pushed people to say, you know, your vision, you got to do what the vision is. The vision. What about the vision of God? What about the purpose of God? What about what God wants versus what we want? What about what God expects versus what we expect? And if God doesn't do what we expect him to do, then we get angry. Then we get distraught. Then we get down. Then we get depressed. Then we don't want to worship no more. Then we don't want to go to church no more. We don't know how to pray no more. We stop doing all of the stuff that we should have continued to do. If you do it continually, you shall reap if you what? Faint not. But if we stop doing it, how can we reap if we stop watering the seed? How can we reap if we stop planting? I wish I had somebody. But we stop because God doesn't give us what we expect when we expect it. Now, it is true that he'll give you the desires of your heart. But what you got to understand in that is not that he gives you anything that you say in your heart that you want. It means that he gives you the desire to want for it. So you'll pray for it. So he can give you what you ask for, so he can build your faith. Now, some of the stuff we want is just covetedness. Stuff that we shouldn't be asking for. All right, let me go on. So first thing we got to understand is that David prepared a place, right? He prepared a place for God. He prepared a place. And our duty is to prepare ourselves. Our heart is a place for God. We need to understand that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is what we need in our life. We don't need to catch the Holy Ghost no more. Y'all with me? Don't catch him no more. If you're catching him, that really ain't him. Because you can't catch him. How you going to catch what you can't see? How you going to catch what's everywhere? All right. So you don't catch him. He fills you. He indwells on the inside. Say, he indwells on the inside of me. He dwells right here. And so we have to make sure we prepare the place for him to dwell. And if we don't prepare the place for him to dwell, he won't dwell. But guess what? Something will dwell. It just ain't him. Oh, come on and say amen. Now, and look, and the something that might dwell might have some friends, because the Bible said if a man has a demon, that when the demon is cast out, you got to make sure that you get filled with the Spirit and you got the Word, because if not, he comes back and find that place all cleaned up, and that one demon become a doorkeeper. He become an usher to your house. You know what he does then? And the Bible says that he opens up the door and he said, come on, I got six brothers that can come and help me live in this place. It's clean. I didn't know I had all this space, but come on. And so you get full of demons. You become seven times worse than you was before. So we got to prepare the place. Don't be relapsing. Don't be backsliding. Just prepare the place for the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Y'all with me? Amen. Let's skip on down because I got to get out of here. Y'all looking bored. And it said unto them, ye are, in verse 12, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, and bring up the ark of God of Israel, the Lord, the ark of God of Israel, unto the place that I have prepared for it. So he prepared a place, but then he tells them we need to have the people what? Prepared. He says, sanctify. There's a process of sanctification. He told them to sanctify yourselves. In other words, they would go through the rituals of washing themselves. They would wash and they would wash and they would clean themselves and separate themselves from anything that they would deem unclean, unholy, things like that. They would make sure that they were clean enough and right enough and ready enough so that they can go and get the presence of God. Now, here it is. We talk about that. And the thing about it, God loves us so much that he said, look, I'm not going to have you sanctifying yourself anymore. I sanctify you by the Holy Spirit. I set you apart by the Holy Spirit. And when we're led of the Spirit, we're led of the Spirit to be set apart. That's why you don't fit in with everything and everybody. So he prepares not only a place, but he prepares the people. And he says, so the priests, the Levites in verse 14, they sanctified themselves, because in verse 13, he said, because at first we didn't do it right. And then the Lord, verse 13 says, had a breach upon us for that we sought him not after the due order. We have to seek God in the right order. We have to seek God with our hearts right. You know, sometimes we come in here and our hearts are not right. We're mad with people. We're angry. We have unforgiveness. We have bitterness. All this stuff. And we come in here and we think we're going to lift up an offering of praise and worship to God that he can accept. And God said, no, I'm not accepting that. No, I'm not going to do it. Go get it right with your brother. Then you can come back and I'll accept your worship. I'll accept. You know what? God don't even hear our prayers, especially if you're married and you're mad with each other. He's saying, where's your wife? Where's your husband? That's what he's saying. He ain't saying, I'm going to answer your prayer. He waiting on you. Y'all with me? To say, you know what, I forgive them. Now, you know, when we talk about forgiveness, the problem is we think that when we forgive somebody, we got to let them take advantage of us. No, you don't. You just got to say, I forgive you, but I ain't a fool. Simple. I ain't fool enough to let you do this to me again, but I forgive you so I can love you like I'm supposed to. Y'all still with me here? So he says that the Levites got themselves together because they remember it was one of them, one of their family members that died trying to help, died trying to do the right thing, but it wasn't his fault. It was because he wasn't taught the right thing. Lord have mercy. That's why I'm trying to teach you today. That's why I'm trying to give you the right stuff today. It's not our fault sometimes, but you know what? Ignorance to the law, come on and say amen, does not mean that you are free from the law. Amen. You can be ignorant of it, but I can make you aware of it. Officer, I didn't know that it was 65 mile per hour limit, and I was doing 85. I thought it was 75. Well, here it is. You didn't know, but you still get a ticket. The Bible even said them that don't know get whooped. Them that know with many stripes, them that don't know still get whooped with few stripes. A whooping is a whooping. Amen. So we can't plead ignorance in the case because there is no reason for us to be ignorant of what God expects. All right, let me go on here. He says the children, the Levite, look at verse 15, and the children of the Levite bear the ark. Look at this now. He said the children of the Levite, that caught my attention. The children were the ones that brought the presence of God. The children of the Levites were the ones that were able to go in the presence of God. That's why Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, I have perfected praise. It is our duty, our job, to make sure our children understand the presence of God, how to operate in the presence of God. It is our duty and our responsibility to make sure that they understand so that when they know, they can take the presence of God wherever they go. They can, I wish I had somebody in the house that said, I'm going to teach my children the right way, because if they know the right way, they'll always be able to carry the presence of God. No matter where they go, they got God with them. Come on and say amen here. The children were the ones responsible for the burden of carrying the ark of the Lord. And it says that not only did the children carry them, but let's go on just a little bit further. It says that in verse number 16, and David spake to them, and he appointed their brethren to sing with instrument and singers with instruments of music and psalteries and harps, cymbals sounding, and then guess what else? Lifting up their voice with joy. That's the problem why we can't worship God. Because we don't have the joy of the Lord as our strength. We come in weak. We come in broke down, broke, busted, and disgusted, depressed. We come in disappointed and discouraged because of the work that the enemy has done in our life. And we magnify the devil and we glorify what he's done. Talk about all. We tell people more about what the devil has done and what haters has done than we tell people about what God has done. And we got to stop that. Do you know that the reason why the devil does stuff in your life is because he wants recognition? He wants to be acknowledged? That's part of worship. Do you know that? Did you know that God wants you to acknowledge him? Because that is the beginning stage of worshiping him. And so when you start acknowledging the devil, even though you might despise what he's done, he still gets some attention. And that's what he's after. Did you realize when you read when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness? Do you know when the devil left? He left when he realized, Jesus said that you can't, I'm not worshiping nobody but the Lord our God. When he realizes that you're not going to worship him and not going to acknowledge him, then the devil will move on his way. But we give him too much time. We give him too much place. We're talking about how bad he did it and how much he did it and who he did it through. And we start talking about all this stuff. And every time we pray, we're reminding God of what they did us. Don't you know that God knows what they did? And matter of fact, God allowed him to do it. Remember Job's house? The devil can't get there unless God say you can come on in. And if God said that he can come in, that means God has a plan. And if we can trust God and acknowledge him, that's what Job did. Job never said the devil did this to me. He never said the devil made me do it. He never said, look how bad the devil done me. He turned around and said, the Lord give it and the Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He never said how the devil did him. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He never said, I wish I had somebody. Job never accused the devil. He said that if God allowed this, I can't help but give him praise. Do I have anybody in the house that said, I know you're talking to me. I know you're talking about the stuff I'm dealing with, because I was just yesterday talking about how the devil used somebody. But forget the devil. I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but I know who I'm wrestling against. But I ain't got to talk about my opponent. I can just beat. If he's already beat, I ain't got to waste time. If he's already lost, I ain't got to talk about him no more. You don't keep talking about people you beat. You talk about the one that gave you the victory. Oh, come on and say amen here. Anytime, look. Anytime you see a boxer getting an interview, they start to ask him what's next, and he start telling him, I'm looking to fight so-and-so. He don't start talking about, oh, my opponent, I just respect him so much, and he put a whooping on me. No, he don't say that. He start talking about what's next. He said, I'm coming after so-and-so. I'm looking for the title belt. I'm more than a conqueror. That's what we need to say. I'm not looking at who I just be. I'm more than a conqueror. Oh, come on and say, man, because God loves me. I'm an overcomer. I overcame. How did I win? I overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my own testimony. Do I have anybody here? I got to get through. But you got to do it with joy. He said that in verse 16, he said they lifted up their voices with joy. We have to understand the joy of the Lord. And if you ain't got joy, you're not going to lift him up. You got to have joy. But then verse 25, and I'm going to get out of here in just a minute. It's my clothes. So David and the elders, verse 25, said that captains over 1,000, they brought the ark of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom. And guess what they did? They did it with joy. We can't expect God's presence if we don't have joy. That's why Jesus said, I give you my joy. Because he knew that sometime we're going to be down, but he gives us his joy so that your joy might be full, but not only be full, he said that your joy might remain. So after you go through your trial, you still got, I got mad about it, but I got joy. Yeah, I had some other emotions, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's why I can get up and I ain't worried about it because I got joy. That's why I can get up and move to the next day, the next hour, the next moment because I have joy. Let's do it right. We got to move in joy. And you know, when people have joy, they don't just, you know, they don't just look at you. But they show the fact they have joy. You ever meet somebody and every time you see them, you say, man, that person, you couldn't even tell they were sick. They had so much joy. Because they know that the Redeemer lives. Yes. And if we got joy, we can get the presence of God moving in our life. Amen. You want God to move? Do it right. You want the hand of God to move in your life? Do it right. Have the joy of the Lord. Get yourself in order with God. Sanctify yourself. I wish I had somebody here. So we had a prepared place. We had a prepared people. But then we have a premeditated praise. Let me get out of here. If you realize 17 through 24 talks about who was going to do what. Talks about how they set up singers and musicians. They set up skillful folks. They put people in order in the right place. And anticipation of God's favor. That they believed that God would move with them. And they made sure that if God, that they had people in place that when God moved, that was going to praise him. See, we have to have anticipation that God is going to do something. But when I have anticipation, I want people around me that ain't afraid to lift up the name of Jesus. Now, you may not be able to run. You may not be able to shout jump, but you can open up your mouth and rail your head back and sing hallelujah. You can do something. I'll tell somebody, you can do something. You might not be able to do much, but you can do something. Amen. And we can't be too dignified. We can't be too caught up in ourselves. I'm going to show you how. I'm going to show you just a minute. But we can't be so caught up in ourselves and say, oh, that's just not me. Well, it need to be you. Because he's been too good to you. Yes, hallelujah. So they look at this. Whenever they lifted up the ark, they praised God. But let me go on. Let me get finished. He says that they brought it out of the house with joy, verse 26. And it came to pass when they bare up the ark that they offered up 7 rams and 7 bullocks. Now, what happened here is that they had not been able to move the ark since Uzzah died. They have not been able to do anything with it. So they did it the right way. They got the proper sticks. They put them in the rings that are on the side of the ark, and they got up under the ark, the 4 guys that were supposed to, and they lifted it up. And you know what? When they began to lift it up, it was a time for offering. It was a time for praise. Y'all with me here? Whenever somebody lift him up, I wish I had somebody else. Let me talk to this side. Whenever somebody lift him up, there ought to be somebody ready to sacrifice. Whenever somebody decide, help me lift him, help me raise him up, somebody else ought to say, since you raised him, I'm going to praise him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Since you raised him, I'm going to praise him. I may not feel like it. It's a sacrifice, but I'm going to praise him. I don't feel good, but I'm going to lift him up. I got sickness in my body, but I'm still praising him. I feel like I've been run over by a truck, but I'm still praising him. Got people lying on me, but I'm still praising him. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I'm going to praise him if you can lift him? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I'm ready to lift him up? I'm ready to praise him. I'm ready to, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, I bless his holy name. Come on and give him praise. Come on and give him glory. All right, let me try to finish. I feel like I got to say it all. And I'm going to get out your way here. He says now, they praised him. David was clothed, it says, in a linen ephod, a linen robe and a linen ephod, along with the rest of everybody else. Now, here's the king dressed like everybody else. Now, the thing is, David humbled himself and took off his priestly garments. And he put on the garments of servants, a linen robe and an ephod. David participated in the service. Now, I know you might think you're somebody. And you don't have to do all that because it don't take all that. But if the king said, it take all of that. If the king said, I don't have a right to act like king in his presence because he's the king of kings. I don't have the right to act like king. I need to act like a servant. Y'all don't hear me. I need to act like a servant in the presence of the king because, by the way, he's the one that anointed me. By the way, he's the one that blessed me. By the way, he's the one that delivered me from Saul. By the way, he's the one that gave me the strength over the bear and the lion. By the way, he's the one that directed the rock to my giant Goliath's forehead. Do I have anybody in here that say, by the way, I don't have a right to be high-minded. All I need to do is make sure I got a high praise because David put on a linen robe and a linen ephod. And he said, I'm going to subject myself. I'm going to subject myself, surrender to God. Oh, come on and say, man, if we would humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and exalt him, he will exalt us. I wish I had somebody in the house. And the Bible goes on to say that they begin to make some noise in the house. They begin to make a joyful noise. And that's why the scripture says in the book of Psalm, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, that he is God, we are the sheep of his people. Oh, come on and say amen here. He has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Do I have anybody that say, I want to hallel God? The word hallel is the first part of the word hallelujah. And what that word means, it means to celebrate. I want to celebrate God. If you go to a celebration, you go where there's joy. You go to where there's laughing. You go where they're high-fiving. You go where people feel victorious. I want to celebrate. I wish I had a few people that say, I'm here to celebrate. I'm celebrating God. What does that mean? But not only does hallel mean to celebrate, it means to boast. I'm talking about how good he is. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? I wish I had somebody. But not only does it mean to boast and it means to celebrate, but it means to act foolishly. In other words, I don't care what you think about me. I might act foolish. Hallelujah. The Bible says that it came to pass when she saw David dancing. And the word dancing here in the Hebrew text, it means to skip. It means to jump and to spin wildly. Somebody say amen. So what happened to David is that when he was skipping and when he was dancing and he began to jump and he spin around, everything underneath his skirt came up and all of his lower parts, everything underneath began to show. But David said, I ain't worried about what you see. Better yet, look at me. I'm praising God. Somebody shout yes. But let me tell you something else. When you start praising God in the way you ought to praise him, you're going to make some people mad. You're going to make some things mad. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. Come on and shout yes. I don't care if you're mad. I don't care if you're mad. You might as well get glad because I'm going to praise him. I'm going lift him up. If you don't like the noise that we like to make, there's the door. I wish I had somebody, because I'm going to praise him. I'm going to lift him up. Come on, let's do it right. You ought to get a praise in your heart. When you think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for you, your soul ought to cry out, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I think about what he's done, I think about how he brought me, and I think about what I'm facing. I say, won't he do it? I say, won't he do it? Will he do it? Will he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Say yes. Say yes. We got to do it right. I'm a prepared person, and I got a perpetual praise. I got a premeditated praise. I got a sneaky suspicion that the Lord's going to bless me, so I lift him up. I got a sneaky suspicion that the Lord's going to heal you, so I lift him up. I got a sneaky suspicion. I'm anticipating that the Lord's going to touch you, so I'm going to praise him. I'm praising not just for me, but I'm praising for you too, since you ain't got sense enough, you ain't got courage enough to lift up the name of Jesus. I'm going to lift him up. I'm going to praise him for you. Lord, overlook their ignorance. They don't know who you are. So I'll praise you. I said, I'll praise you. I said, I'll praise you. Will you praise him? Why don't you praise him? Why don't you lift him? Say yeah. Say yeah. Oh, yes. Anybody want to do it right? If you want to do it right, you ought to lift those hands and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. You've been so good to me. You brought me from a mighty long way. You opened up doors that's been closed in my face. I thank you, Lord, that when they shut the doors, that you opened up windows and poured me out a blessing that I don't have room enough. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. After all I've been through, I still have joy. They talked about me, but I still had joy. They lied on me, but I still had joy. They stabbed me in the back, sometimes stabbed me in the front, but I still have joy. With tears in my eyes, I can lift up holy hands without wrath or doubt and praise him. Praise the Lord. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for his excellent greatness. Praise ye the Lord. Do I have anybody that'll come magnify the Lord with me? Let us exalt his name together. Oh, come on and praise him. The Lord is my light. I'm going to praise him because he's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord, the strength of my life. Who shall I be afraid? Anybody want to do it right? Let's do it right. Let's get it right. We got to praise him. Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah, hallelujah. Tell your neighbor. Say neighbor.